Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer valid through June 30th in store and online while supplies last.
There's big trouble on the north side of Chicago, and it has nothing to do with what the Cubs are doing on the diamond. We'll discuss today, 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're gonna do things all the time together. Just because we're not on a bachelor party doesn't mean that we can't hang out.
Happy National Best Friends Day. Welcome into the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM. Producer Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. That's our historic main gym frequency. We can also be found online at KGYMradio.com. Great show planned for you today. We've got another prize pack from the Amana Colonies Golf Course. Somebody is going to be hitting the links on us soon. We'll give you your chance to win before 7 o'clock tonight. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com, their Big 12 writer, will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk the continued fallout and reaction to the bombshell news that dropped yesterday in the sports world that after 18 seasons, former Iowa standout Bob Stoops stepping down as the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooner football program. We'll ask Mitch the question that was on the mind of many an Iowa State fan yesterday when they heard the news. What does it mean for the Big 12 long term? The Ohio State basketball situation goes from bad to worse, if you could term it that, over the course of about 24 hours, and a couple interesting names tied to that job, both with ties to the state of Iowa and Iowa State University, Greg McDermott and Fred Hoiberg. We'll give you the latest on that. And we'll also hear from Cedar Rapids Colonels All-Star catcher and designated hitter Mitchell Cranson tonight at 5:30. Colonels are on the road taking on the Clinton Lumber Kings, but they're back home tomorrow night to face the Burlington Bees. We'll have Kyle Mann's maiden Woodja voyage in hour number three as well tonight. And, of course, we have the NBA Finals to get down to. It looked like Cleveland was going to win Game 3 last night, and then it didn't come to fruition as Golden State takes a commanding 3-0 lead in the series with a 118-113 victory in downtown Cleveland. 319-366-1600. That's the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It also doubles as the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Again, the number 366-1600. We will get to the developing news out of Chicago with regard to Addison Russell and his absence from the Cubs lineup as well today. Alex Kuhn, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Todd. It's like Ohio State and their basketball program is trying to write the script for our show. The news comes out that Thad Matta was stepping down or being fired. That really isn't clear at this point, but regardless, those two entities parted ways, and Ohio State is left looking for a coach. And I got a text from our new producer, Kyle Mann, at about 7 o'clock, right after we left the studio, saying that, no, it would have been about 7:15. Regardless, right after we left the studio, I get a text saying that CBS's Gary Parrish is reporting that Fred Hoiberg is a legitimate candidate for the Ohio State job. And I let that marinate for a second. Wow, okay, that's interesting news. And then other reports surface that a plane is leaving Columbus late at night, headed for Omaha, to possibly pick up Greg McDermott, who apparently, according to Jeff Goodman, was offered the Ohio State job. And I thought that, okay, well, if he's offered the job, then I wouldn't see why he wouldn't take it. Well, Greg McDermott comes out today, the former UNI and Iowa State coach, and says that he's basically not interested. He is committed to the Creighton Blue Jays. So within 24 hours, Ohio State fans, from what I saw, and I agree with a lot of people, I think Greg McDermott is a good coach, but that was not going to be the splash hire that a lot of people in Columbus really wanted. And for him to turn that job down, you just wonder what direction Ohio State's going to go from here.
We will take a deeper dive into the Ohio State coaching drama, if you want to call it that, in hour number two of the program today. And we do have a poll question related to that report last night that Greg Dermott was going to become the next head coach at Ohio State. And then this morning he gets on Twitter and says he basically loves it in Omaha and he's going to stay with Creighton to paraphrase there. What would you have done if you were Greg McDermott? Would you stay or would you go? That's the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. McDermott reportedly was offered roughly three times as much money as he would be making in Omaha, and he will instead be staying with the Blue Jays. And again, we're going to take a deep dive into this, but a story that popped up first last night in the middle of Chicago's 6-5 loss to the Miami Marlins, and a story that I don't think is going to have a happy ending one way or the other here, but Major League Baseball is investigating Cubs shortstop Addison Russell for allegations of domestic abuse that were levied not by his wife, but by his wife's best friend. And while the game was going on last night, which was a great game, Cubs ultimately, as I said, wound up losing 6-5. Addison Russell's wife is on Instagram, and she absolutely drops the bomb that there was some infidelities with the marriage, allegedly. Her Instagram post is a picture of her at the beach in a bikini, smiling. If that's not enough to pique your interest, I don't know what is. You can find it on Twitter. As a matter of fact, I think I retweeted it from my account, at Todd Brummelkamp. But the Instagram post said, "Being free to be able to make your own choices for your own happiness beats being cheated on, lied to, and disrespected any day." And she threw a couple hashtags in there for good measure. And that's one thing. But then her best friend comes out and says that Addison Russell has hit her. And in front, they have two kids. He's 24 years old, and they have two kids. And now Major League Baseball is looking into this. And as I said, I don't think this is going to have a happy ending for anybody involved in this. Now, Major League Baseball, you do not need to be found guilty of anything in a court of law. They will suspend you for X number of games if they deem through their own investigation that their domestic violence policy was violated. And we've seen this a number of times with a number of high-profile players. Aroldis Chapman spent 30 games on the sidelines last year with the Yankees, and that's, to me, part of the big story here with the Cubs is that they fought this battle last year when they went out and knowingly brought him into the clubhouse. And there were some fans that were not pleased or not happy with the acquisition because he was not a good guy. And, okay, they win the World Series and Chapman leaves and the Cubs organization sort of gets to wash their hands of it. And now you have arguably one of the bright young stars on that 2016 World Series team, the guy that the Cubs organization thinks is going to be their starting shortstop for the next decade, Addison Russell, who's facing these allegations, and he's going to be suspended most likely by Major League Baseball if they find that he did anything to run afoul of their domestic violence policy. He's going to spend a significant number of games on the bench. Now, Javier Baez had already started to eat into his playing time a little bit at shortstop. Russell has been struggling this year, and for the most part, people have pointed to the sore shoulder that's been bothering him. But I think it's pretty clear that maybe there was some off-the-field stuff that nobody was privy to until last night when his, I would assume, soon-to-be ex-wife. If I were in her shoes, I wouldn't stick around. And I've seen a lot of people commenting on this, and I thought one of the absolute mind-numbing takes on this was, well, she shouldn't bail on him yet. He hasn't made enough money. And I'm thinking, maybe she has self-respect. Maybe she would rather be happy and not have to deal with that, allegedly. And this is going to be very difficult. Look, I said jokingly that my son's favorite player is Addison Russell because we were watching the National League Championship Series last year and Russell was having a good game, and I sort of assigned my son Addison Russell as a favorite player. Now, he's 10 months old. He's not going to know what's going on. But I got a hard time wrapping my head around this one because I want to root for this guy and I want to like him. And this is going to probably make this extremely difficult at this point, but that's beside the point. Major League Baseball is going to look into this, and now you've got the organization who last year brought in Chapman, and now they're dealing with a second, what will likely turn out to be nasty, one way or the other, public relations fiasco regarding domestic violence. And Major League Baseball is trying to crack down on this, and there's no way that this ends well, even if he's completely exonerated. And I look, chances are that he's not going to be completely exonerated, because every time, almost every time, Major League Baseball's looked into these allegations, Jose Reyes comes to mind. It doesn't matter about court of law. Major League Baseball lays down its own law. So this isn't going to end well for him. This kid is 24 years old, and I don't want to say he throws everything away, because if you are talented enough at sports, people are going to give you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and on and on and on. Eventually you burn enough bridges that you get stuck on an island and you can't get off it, but that's neither here nor there. It's an unfortunate situation, and he's not in the lineup tonight for the Cubs. Baez is at short as they open their series against the Rockies. He's not even at the ballpark. And basically the Cubs put out a rather toothless statement today saying that, you know, basically what we already know is that Russell's under investigation by Major League Baseball. Now, Chris Bryant has spoken with the media today. Anthony Rizzo talked with the media also, and I thought Bryant handled it about as well as he could. He said, look, we don't know what's going on outside of the clubhouse, and sometimes people have issues, and it is what it is, and they want him to work through this stuff, and hopefully there's a good positive resolution here. But Bryant did stop short of doing what a lot of athletes normally do, and that's automatically defending their teammate. And so good on Chris Bryant for understanding that he could have been making a big mistake there. But you get the sense in listening and reading to some of the player comments here, Russell may be fighting this on his own for a while.
He might be, and he released a statement denying the allegations and saying that he will have no further comment at this time about the allegations that he hit his wife. The question that I have is, because at this point we don't know a lot, and I don't know if the organization knows a lot. Clearly the players inside the organization don't know exactly what happens. What does an organization do in that situation? Because they're also, like you said, in a no-win situation. And I think for the most part what they've done is say, okay, well, Addison, stay home for a couple of days and let's figure everything out. And I always wonder what coaches, whether it's in the at the professional ranks or at the college ranks, do in a situation where they have there's absolutely no way of winning. There's no way of looking good in the public eye, and I don't think that there's that should be the number one priority in this situation. But it'll be interesting to see how quickly facts about this story come out, especially how quickly they're revealed in Major League Baseball. That's going to decide how quickly a punishment is handed down.
Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago, a frequent contributor and guest on the program. I guess we can't call him a contributor, but he's a guest on the program, says that Theo Epstein has said that Russell's not suspended by the team. They just advised him to stay away and focus on his personal life at this point. So I don't know how long he's going to be out of the lineup. And from a baseball standpoint, he's hitting 209, tremendous defender, has struggled offensively at the plate. And again, you always have to look and wonder sometimes, do you know the whole story? And people say, well, he's got shoulder issues, it's been bothering him, which he has not been healthy this year. But I think if you wanted to play connect the dots here, there's probably some off-the-field stuff that's been weighing heavily on him. And then God knows what happened yesterday. Apparently, his wife went to his apartment in Chicago and found some things that she didn't like, and this blew up into a situation where she waits until they're in the middle of the game last night and goes on Instagram and basically takes a flamethrower to him. And it didn't take too long for that news to spread last night either. But a situation worth monitoring as the Cubs open that series against the Rockies tonight. A couple games already in the books today around Major League Baseball, including the St. Louis Cardinals falling for the seventh game in a row, the Cincinnati Reds victorious. Last night, Scott Schebler with his 17th home run of the season for the Cincinnati Reds. The Solon product and Cedar Rapids Prairie alum continues to have an outstanding season for the Reds as they beat the Cardinals 5-2 today. The Angels were an 11-4 winner at Detroit. Twins will continue their series at Seattle tonight. That game is set for a 9:10 start time at Safeco Field. And we'll have that for you, I believe, coming up on 107.5 FM. Kyle Mann will join us in the studio shortly. We'll have our very first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. It includes news of Iowa's pairing in the Big Ten ACC Challenge this fall. It's a familiar one, and for the second year in a row, the Hawkeyes will be playing on the road. At 4:22, we step aside. We wait to hear from Kyle when we return after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. Stop into 101 South Dubuque Street and wish the Dickens family congratulations on 70 years in business. As the Cubs open a series with the Colorado Rockies tonight at Wrigley Field, one name will noticeably be absent from the team's lineup, shortstop Addison Russell. That's not surprising given the news today that Major League Baseball will be investigating Russell for possibly violating the league's domestic violence policy. A friend of the 24-year-old Russell's wife made the allegations against him Wednesday night on social media. MLB has suspended a handful of high-profile athletes since implementing its policy, and the league says it is indeed looking into the allegations against Russell. This doesn't come as a welcome development for the Cubs, who dealt with public relations blowback last season after acquiring closer Aroldis Chapman from the New York Yankees. The Cubs and Rockies will square off at 7:05 with left-hander John Lester on the hill for the Cubs. The Rockies turn to former Cedar Rapids Colonel pitcher Tyler Chatwood.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Friday is Star Wars night at the Colonels. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free Star Wars t-shirt, and fans can meet Star Wars characters on the concourse. The team will wear Star Wars jerseys that'll be sold via silent auction to benefit autism awareness. Visit colonels.com for game times and to order tickets.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
AutoZone has over 5,000 locations all across the country. But no matter where you're at, there's only one thing you can be sure of. It's gonna get hot. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which could damage your battery's internal structure. That's why Duralast batteries are designed to beat the heat. Tested to start your car at up to 167 degrees Fahrenheit. And even though it won't get that hot in Alaska, you never know. It might. Duralast. Proven tough and sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone.
Gentlemen, hurry into JCPenney and find great looks for whether you're in the office or on the go. Raise your game with menswear designed by Michael Strahan. Exclusively at JCPenney. Get 50% off suits, separates, and dress shirts from Collection by Michael Strahan. And up to 40% off MSX activewear. Also available in big and tall. Don't miss out on even more savings with a coupon for $10 off when you spend $25 or more on select items. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 6/7 to 6/13. Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
To protect your engine, you have to change the oil. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $27.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card after mail-in rebate. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com joining us to talk a little Bob Stoops and Big 12 football in just a few minutes. Mitchell Cranson of the Cedar Rapids Colonels on the program tonight as well. You'll hear from him at 5:30. The Colonels finishing out that series against the Clinton Lumber Kings tonight. And to tell you all about that and more, we bring in Kyle Mann for our first of several Midwest One Bank Big Board updates tonight.
Brian McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team got their matchup for the Big Ten ACC Challenge earlier today, and now know that they will head to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. This will be the fourth meeting between the Hawks and Hokies, with Iowa looking to claim its first victory in the series. They last played in 2012 when Virginia Tech beat Iowa by 16 there in Blacksburg. Some basketball coaches with Iowa ties have been in the news lately, with former Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg and former Iowa State and UNI head coach Greg McDermott being linked to the Ohio State vacancy left by Thad Matta. Hoiberg has said publicly he has no intentions of leaving the Bulls, while it's been reported that McDermott was offered the job but appears likely to remain at Creighton. Jake Adams continues to collect postseason honors and today was selected as a third-team All-American by Baseball America. This is Adams' third All-America distinction, and he also remains as Iowa's first-ever semifinalist for the USA Baseball Golden Spikes Award. The Colonels lost 6-9 to the Clinton Lumber Kings last night, but look to bounce back in the rubber match tonight. First pitch is slated for 6:30 with Robert Duggar on the mound for the Lumber Kings and lefty Dominic Carlini starting for the Colonels. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals can be heard on all three KGYM frequencies beginning immediately after our programming. That game will be played in Pittsburgh and will break a 2-2 tie in the series.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Iowa has played at Virginia Tech, I believe, 3 times in the last 11 years. And, of course, their second year in a row that they've been on the road in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Had to go to Notre Dame in South Bend last year. That's going to be a tough matchup. Virginia Tech, I believe, has 5 of its top 6 scorers returning.
Yes, after their NCAA tournament run last year, it looks like Buzz Williams has turned that program around. And his name was actually brought up early on in the Ohio State rumors, but those rumors have cooled off just a little bit.
One other note to pass along that is Cubs-related, since we've been talking about a lot about them at the top of the program. Starter Kyle Hendricks today goes on the disabled list with hand tendonitis. He's going to be replaced on the roster by Seth Frankoff, coming up from AAA Iowa. He's a 28-year-old right-hander with a 2.77 earned run average over 55 and one-third innings for the I-Cubs. Spent some time in the Phillies organization. Speaking of, our pal Tommy Burch at the Des Moines Register has a great profile on former Cubs first-round draft pick Josh Vitters on the Des Moines Register's website.
Is he still playing baseball?
He's in Sioux City with the Sioux City Explorers, which is an independent league team.
The number three overall pick, correct?
Number three overall pick and batting ninth for the Explorers. Oof. And under the Mendoza line. But anybody who's a Cubs fan or a baseball fan, check that out. Tommy always does fantastic work. So too does Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. He covers the Big 12 for ESPN. He's going to be joining us next, of course, reacting to the news that we all found out yesterday, Bob Stoops retiring after 18 years at Oklahoma. What does that move mean for OU and the Big 12? Mitch discusses it with us next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Dear U of I, just a note to let you know, if you're ever thinking about selling Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, please consider Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're here to provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Signed, Hawkeye Fan Forever, and send. Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Whether it's a large commercial property or if you're buying your first home, remember, we're here to help. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
Listen to podcasts.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news from the NFL. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Patriots will sign wideout Julian Edelman to a two-year extension through the 2019 season. In the last 4 years, Edelman is fifth in the NFL in total catches. And Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta is still hospitalized after re-injuring his right hip last week. The injury will likely end Pitta's football career. Trailing 3-0 in the NBA Finals, the Cavaliers did not hold a full practice today. Game 4 is tomorrow night, with the Warriors trying to make history as the first team to go 16-0 in the postseason. Our coverage of Game 4 starts tomorrow at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, 9 Eastern on ABC. Baseball Finals today, the Angels beat the Tigers 11-4. The Reds take the Cardinals 5-2, sweeping a 4-game series. St. Louis has lost 7 in a row. Astros ace Dallas Keuchel goes on the DL today for the second time this spring with a neck problem. He's been sent back to Houston to meet with doctors. He is 9-0 this season.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, our 4,000 ASC-certified technicians have the state-of-the-art tools to keep your car running newer, longer. Because when your car is running right, so are you. Take advantage of the Bonus Savings Day summer event and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid June 8th through June 11th on any purchase. Exclusions may apply. In-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offer. See store or drivafirestone.com for full details.
Summer involves a lot of driving, to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
Too tight, too dated. What do I wear with this?
I'm telling you, honey. Trunk Club curates outfits based on your personal style and sends them right to our door.
So I don't have to stare at the closet every day and feel defeated?
Exactly. And Trunk Club is a Nordstrom company, so your stylist helps you find your perfect look and you get quality brands.
Oh, I like that.
Then stop staring and get back to doing what you love.
Golfing.
Antiquing.
Yeah, antiquing, right.
Love what you wear. Visit trunkclub.com/ESPN and we'll help you make sense of style.
When you test drive a car, you drive it maybe a few miles.
CarQuest brakes are vehicle tested over 1 million miles. Overkill? Maybe. But would you want your brakes tested any less? CarQuest brakes, tested to ensure superior stopping performance over the competition. Right now, save up to $20 by mail on CarQuest Wherever Gold brake pads and two CarQuest rotors. Only at Advance Auto Parts and CarQuest Auto Parts, N62817, $10 per axle, C-Store, or AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
It's 4:34 on a Thursday. We welcome you back into the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann, I'm Todd Brommelkamp. Stop on into the Coach's Corner tomorrow in Iowa City. It's another edition of the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. We're going to be talking a little Major League Baseball with Jack Dom, as well as doing Love It or Leave It and some of our other Friday staples. I think we've even got a little NBA talk on tap for tomorrow as well. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Keep that number handy also, because we've got a round of golf and some other incidentals at the Amana Colonies Golf Club for you to win before 7 o'clock tonight. We spent a great deal of time on Wednesday's program talking about the bombshell news yesterday that Bob Stoops had decided to retire at Oklahoma after 18 years on the job, and we figured, why not reach out to Mitch Sherman and bring him onto the program today to not only break this down from an Oklahoma standpoint, but from the Big 12 view as well. Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com joining us, a frequent guest here on KGYM. Mitch, we appreciate the time tonight, and let's just get down to the brass tacks on this. A lot of people are wondering what Bob Stoops' departure means, not for Oklahoma, but for the Big 12 in general.
Well, good to talk to you guys. I think it means, in a further sense of instability for the Big 12. This is already a league that's on somewhat shaky ground after the past three seasons in the college football playoff era. The Big 12, as you know, has sent one team, and that was Oklahoma in 2015, into the college football playoff, and it lost in the semifinals, so has not won a game in the college football playoff. We've seen a dip in recruiting in the Big 12. We've seen a dip in producing players for the NFL draft in the Big 12, and just an overall, I think, decline in perception in this league. You know, when those things happen, they've happened to other leagues. It's happened to the Big 10. It's happened to the ACC, and they have, both of those leagues, recovered and done well. I don't know that that's necessarily the future course for the Big 12 right now. There is a clock ticking on the Big 12, and if it continues to go down this path that it's at right now, there may not be a Big 12 in 6 or 7 years. And the development yesterday with Bob Stoops retiring, while I don't think it necessarily impacts what will happen directly when the TV contracts are divvied up at the next turn in 2023, 2024, because even if Bob Stoops had stayed and coached in 2017, he wasn't likely going to be Oklahoma's coach. He said, he's been on the record saying this, into his mid-60s, but could have certainly seen him coaching another 5 years. It does, of course, potentially impact Oklahoma's immediate future and the kind of momentum that the Big 12 will have going into the next decade, which is important for the future of the conference. So there's a lot riding on Lincoln Riley. There's a lot riding on Tom Herman at Texas to restore some glory to this conference and get it back into a place where it's in position to win national championships.
You actually have sat down with the new coach at Oklahoma. We'll get to your sit down with Lincoln Riley in just a second. But for him, how big of a challenge is recruiting going to be? Will this free up recruiting for other Big 12 schools to come in and maybe poach some of the recruits that Oklahoma has gotten in the past?
Well, I think they'll be okay in recruiting. That's an area that he does have experience. You know, he doesn't have experience in leading a program, in doing so many of the administrative things, and being the face of a football machine. But going into the living rooms, talking to parents, talking to high school coaches, certainly at 33 years old, he's equipped to equate to prospects as well or better than anyone in the league. And Lincoln Riley was known to be a good recruiter in his time at Texas Tech and his time at East Carolina and in the 2 years that he spent at Oklahoma. So I think he'll be okay there. Will it open doors for other programs in the Big 12? Yeah, I mean, there's kids out there who pick Oklahoma because of Bob Stoops. He's been there 18 years. I mean, been there for as long as these kids who are picking schools today have been alive. They don't know anything other than, sadly, anything other than Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. They don't know about Bud Wilkinson and Barry Switzer. So it's going to open some doors, but this is already – Oklahoma recruits so hard in the state of Texas, and it's already an area that is highly competitive in the recruiting arena. So I don't necessarily think it means a whole lot for a school like Texas or Texas Tech or TCU. They're going to still recruit the same kids that they've been recruiting. They may just, they don't have that weapon to contend with in Bob Stoops when it gets down to 2 weeks before signing day and he comes in to close the deal. Now it's somebody who obviously doesn't have the trophies in his office that Bob Stoops did, and his word may not carry as much weight, or will probably not carry as much weight until Lincoln Riley starts to stack up some of those accomplishments.
Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com joining us here on the program. If you had to, Mitch, how would you sum up Bob Stoops' 18 seasons in Norman?
Well, I've given this some thought over the last 24 hours, and I think that he basically, aside from winning just the one national championship in 2000, he basically conquered everything that was in front of him. There was not an opponent out there in the conference or really outside of the conference that got the best of Bob Stoops. The one place where you can look at his ledger and say, okay, he didn't live up to everything in this area is winning those national championships. You know, he's not going to go down in history like Nick Saban or like Urban Meyer with multiple championships. Had the opportunities to do it, put his team in position to win championships in 03, 04, 08, even 2015 when they were one game away from playing for the college football playoff championship. But they didn't get it done in any of those years after 2000. It's such a difficult way to be judged, and it's certainly not the only way or even a large part of the way that you judge Bob Stoops, because there just aren't a lot of coaches out there. I believe there's four left who are active right now who have won even one national championship. But if he had won one more, or definitely two more, I think you would put him in the category of absolute tier one upper echelon coaches in the history of the game, because he has just won and because he dominated the Big 12 in the way that he did. You know, I think he belongs in that category, right below the Nick Saban, Bear Bryant, Bobby Bowdens of the coaching history.
I know you were dialed in on his press conference yesterday. What were the reasons for why right now was the best time for him to step away?
You know, I wasn't satisfied with what I heard there. And Bob Stoops acknowledged that he wasn't going to go into every detail. I think that there is probably something there's definitely, it's a personal decision. And, you know, he said that it's June 7th. This is not the traditional time that a coach steps away. He addressed the speculation that he had a serious health issue and said that's not the case. He did not address, you know, something along the lines of a more minor health issue that could have given him trouble down the road. I think it's very relevant to understand that Bob Stoops' dad, Ron Stoops, died on the sideline of a heart attack as a high school coach when he was 2 years younger than Bob Stoops is right now. You know, Bob Stoops has interests outside of the game of football, and he wants to be able to enjoy them. So I think sometimes the most simple answer is the easiest one, especially in a case like this. I think he wanted to enjoy his life, and he wanted to give himself an opportunity to enjoy his life with his wife and his kids. His two sons, twin boys, are going to be high school seniors next year. He wanted to be able to see him. You know, he doesn't need to make more millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's got enough to be happy for the rest of his life and for his children and grandchildren to be happy. So you don't see many guys who are able to put it in perspective, I think, the way that he did yesterday, but or did in making that decision that led up to yesterday. But it's nice. Most coaches just aren't generally wired that way. They want to coach until they coach themselves into the ground. And, you know, here's a case, a rare case, where someone did not do that.
What's the first order of business for Lincoln Riley?
To pay attention to his players. And that was a question that I asked him when I talked to him today. What do you want to do first? And he said, our staff is in Houston and Dallas today for satellite camps, and I was scheduled to be there. He was scheduled to be there as the offensive coordinator, and now all of a sudden he's in the head coach's chair. And he said, I made the decision not to go because I want to be around our team. The guys are there getting started on summer conditioning drills, and they had a camp on their campus yesterday that the players are involved in, and he was able to spend time around the players. I think he wants to get off on the right foot and make sure that there aren't concerns. I'm sure there are concerns. These guys were, every one of them was recruited to Oklahoma to play for Bob Stoops. Even if Lincoln Riley or Mike Stoops or whoever it might be from an assistant coaching standpoint was involved and a major reason in these kids coming to Norman, Oklahoma, they came there to play for Bob Stoops. All of them did. And that includes the recruits who are starting to show up now from the 2017 signing class. So, it's his number one order of business to spend time around those guys and make sure that he answers all of their questions and they don't have concerns going into the 2017 season.
We know that Lincoln Riley was a really good offensive coordinator at East Carolina and then at Oklahoma when he came over in 2015. We know he's very young and his name has been linked for the past couple of years to some AAC jobs and other group of five school jobs. What else is there to know about Lincoln Riley? Did you find anything out in your time sitting down with a 33-year-old new head coach?
I did some research on him yesterday and talked to a few people about him yesterday. Our conversation was pretty surface level today. We talked about Baker Mayfield and the importance that he's had in getting Lincoln Riley to this position. He was very clear that yes, he didn't think he would be here today in this spot, be seen as ready to take over the Oklahoma job if he hadn't spent the past 2 years with Baker Mayfield. You know, it's a you pat my back, I'll pat yours type of situation. I don't think Baker would have finished third and fourth in the Heisman race the last 2 years also if it hadn't been for the coaching that he received from Lincoln Riley. But as far as your question and what you need to know about this guy, he's a Mike Leach disciple. And Mike Leach has roots that go back to the very beginning of Bob Stoops' time at Oklahoma. I think it played a role in why Lincoln Riley was brought to the University of Oklahoma by Bob Stoops 2 years ago, that he had that connection to Mike Leach. Mike Leach coached under Stoops in Bob's first year at Oklahoma in 1999 and brought the air raid offense to Oklahoma, helped modernize that program, helped lead Oklahoma on the path to win a national championship the next year, although Leach was gone and at Texas Tech in the year 2000. And a couple of years later, Lincoln Riley shows up on campus at Texas Tech as a walk-on quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury was the guy in running the show at the time, and Riley soon became a student assistant coach and then a graduate assistant coach. And at age 23, Mike Leach hired him to be his wide receivers coach. They had Michael Crabtree and Danny Amendola under his watch at Texas Tech, names that people know still today. And he ascended quickly to the spot that you mentioned at East Carolina, and then came to Oklahoma 5 years later. So it's been a quick climb up the ladder. I mean, this is like Brad Stevens in the world of basketball, where you go from assistant coach at Butler to head coach, and the next thing you know, you're coaching the Boston Celtics. So there are not many stories like this one in major college or pro sports, but we're watching one now, and we'll see if he's got what it takes to live up to the expectations.
I imagine a lot of Big 12 coaches are happy to see the Bob Stoops news yesterday, but perhaps none more so than Bill Snyder, because if we weren't talking about Oklahoma, we may still be talking about the transfer situation there in Manhattan. How much does that tarnish Bill Snyder's reputation, the way that he handled that situation?
I think it's a footnote, and the further we get away from it, the more I think it'll be forgotten. I think Kansas State obviously did the right thing in washing its hands of that and Snyder putting Snyder in a position to apologize for what happened last Thursday night when he was at the booster event in Overland Park, Kansas, where he outed his player for failing two drug tests and really just sounded out of touch with things in the sport. And that's something that Bill Snyder has largely avoided as he's aged into his 70s, is really being in position to sound like that and talk like that. And part of that is because that Kansas State program is somewhat shielded, not being in a major media market. There aren't the kind of demands on him that there are on a guy like Bob Stoops or Tom Herman or Mack Brown when he was at Texas. So you haven't seen Snyder fall into these kinds of traps. And, you know, he's a smart guy and has avoided them too. But this was a mistake. I do think that it's past them, that they will move past this, and it's not going to be a stain on his career, because they ultimately gave Corey Sutton, the wide receiver here, his release to wherever he wants to go. So, and that's what he wanted. I don't think there's going to be a lawsuit about FERPA. I don't think that Sutton will hold a grudge. He wanted to transfer, and now he's being allowed to transfer, and he wasn't really delayed in being able to do it, because he'll have time to pick a school for next season and sit out and then be eligible if he stays at the FBS level. So Kansas State's quick actions here, I think, saved Bill Snyder from further embarrassment.
Mitch, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Thanks. Thank you.
Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com, the four-letter network's Big 12 reporter, giving his insight on Bob Stoops stepping down yesterday, Lincoln Riley taking over, and even a little bit on Bill Snyder and Kansas State. Lincoln Riley's first order of business, circle the wagons and talk to those Oklahoma players. I agree with that. You got to try to keep those guys on the same page, get them to buy into what you're doing. And what a bombshell yesterday. We're 24 hours removed, and I'm still looking back on yesterday, asking myself, did that actually happen? But one of the more touching moments, I thought, during that news conference was Lincoln Riley getting emotional and getting choked up in talking about Bob Stoops and basically the trust and belief that Stoops has in him to hand over the Oklahoma program to him at such a young age as he ostensibly rides off into the sunset.
It is. We've heard Lincoln Riley's name for a long time, and I don't think he's been really a secret in the coaching ranks since he took over as the wide receivers coach at Texas Tech 10 years ago at the age of 23. But the question is, he is now going to be the youngest coach in college football at any, I'm not talking about Power Five. I'm not talking about Group of Five. He is the youngest coach in college football taking over the Oklahoma program.
Well, you know, it's worked out for PJ Fleck at a much lower level in the MAC with Western Michigan. And I'm trying to think of some of the other young coaches, but this is all about opportunity, and you take it and seize it when it presents itself. And he already, this is very important for our segment of listeners that are pro wrestling fans, he already, according to Twitter, has the Jim Ross seal of approval. Jim Ross, the legendary WWE announcer who is a huge Oklahoma sports fan and was actually at the Insight Bowl in 2011 on the sidelines when Iowa played the Sooners. Of course, Bob Stoops got the better of Kirk Ferentz in that game. That's the contest where Marvin McNutt was almost killed by the falling Skycam. And there is a video clip online. I found it yesterday, and I couldn't figure out a way to work it into the show seamlessly, so I didn't pull the audio. But if you are on YouTube, you can search for Bob Stoops telling the story about painting Kirk Ferentz's house as a graduate assistant at the University of Iowa. Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette was asking Stoops about this back in 2011 at the Insight Bowl. It's tremendous stuff, and Bob Stoops is a really good storyteller. So if you want to check that out, it's on YouTube. Just search for Bob Stoops house painting and Kirk Ferentz, and I think it'll be the first return that pops up. 4:53, we've got a lot to talk about today before 7 o'clock on this program, including what can only be described as a cluster, you know what, in Columbus, as Gene Smith tries to make heads or tails of a bungled coaching search after firing Thad Matta earlier this week. That is coming up in just a few minutes. Kyle Mann will join us for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update before 5 o'clock as well. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Don't go anywhere.
Come for the kolaches, stay for the fun. Tomorrow through Sunday at the annual St. Ludmilla Kolach Festival. There'll be carnival rides, live music, a beer garden, car show, bags turning, and more.
be sure to enjoy the star of the festival, those fresh, homemade kolaches. What's your favorite flavor? Get the schedule and directions at stludmilla.org. Come to the Kolach Festival tomorrow through Sunday at St. Ludmilla Church, 21st Avenue, just south of the Czech Village in Cedar Rapids.
When you're standing in the driveway late for work because your garage door won't go down, you don't have time for big door company games. So call Olinger Garage Doors, a small company with dedicated folks who are ready to roll up their sleeves and get you on your way. And they only use the best from North Central brand products. Olinger Garage Doors, based in Newhall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas, is now hiring installers and service people who'd like to join their team. OLLINGER garagedoors.com.
Yeah, and taking a look at the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, Paul and Marion making a really good observation. He says, I think it's interesting. So many guys younger than 35 are landing major jobs now. It seemed like when Pat Fitzgerald took over at Northwestern that his age was a big deal, which it was at the time. Fitz was the youngest coach in college football, and it was a huge story. And now you're seeing a lot of young guys get that opportunity. I think some of it has to do with where we're at in 2017 and where college football is at as far as being able to reach out and connect with younger players, things like social media, things that PJ Fleck is very good at in Minnesota, and I'm sure Lincoln Riley will be just as adept at as well. We'll talk a little bit more about this before 7 o'clock tonight. More baseball talk on the way. We will circle back to Addison Russell and the Cubs, some of the players. His teammates Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo making some comments today. Colonels catcher and Midwest League All-Star Mitchell Cranson set to join the program in hour number two as well. But first, Kyle Mann bringing you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team got their draw for the Big Ten ACC Challenge earlier today and now know that they will head to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. This will be the fourth meeting between the Hawks and Hokies, with Iowa looking to claim its first victory in the series. Some basketball coaches with Iowa ties have been in the news in the last couple days, with former Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg and former Iowa State and UNI head coach Greg McDermott being linked to the Ohio State vacancy left by Thad Matta. Hoiberg has said publicly he has no intentions of leaving the Bulls, while it's been reported that McDermott was offered the job last night but appears likely to remain at Creighton. Jake Adams continues to collect postseason honors and today was selected as a third-team All-American by Baseball America. This is Adams' third All-America distinction, and he also remains as Iowa's first-ever semifinalist for USA Baseball's Golden Spikes Award. The Colonels lost 9-6 to the Clinton Lumber Kings last night, but look to bounce back in the rubber match tonight. First pitch is set for 6:30, with Robert Duggar on the mound for the Lumber Kings and lefty Dominic Carlini starting for the Colonels. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals can be heard on all three KGYM frequencies beginning immediately after our programming. That game will be played in Pittsburgh and will break a 2-2 series tie. You can also catch the Twins taking on the Mariners at 8:30 on 107.5 The South, Jim.
We'll talk a little Ohio State. Fred Hoiberg, Greg McDermott, and nobody wants to take that job in Columbus when we return after this.
Friends, we understand that Father's Day can be tricky. Should you take your dad out to a nice meal? Are you even supposed to get him a present? If you want to be a thoughtful, self-respecting member of society, the answer is yes. The only question is,